back to the Rock Chop Podcast. I'm your host, Andy Mitz. Today we have another short episode, but a pretty good one nonetheless. I have Steve Fetch joining me again. We're previewing the Kansas first round matchup in the Big 12 tournament against Texas. So I will go ahead and get you guys right on over to that interview.
And I'm joined now once again by Steve Fetch. Fetch, how are you doing today?
Good. How are you doing?
I'm doing pretty good. All right. So we talked with you earlier this week about the Baylor game, but now we're going to go ahead and look ahead to the first game of the Big 12 for the Kansas Jayhawks. They are matched up against Texas. I'm expecting it to be a decently competitive game. Texas probably has one of the better attacks to go ahead and attack KU with, right? I mean, am I incorrect in thinking that? I seem to remember that they're one of the best three-point shooting teams in the league. Is that right?
No, I think you're right. Yeah, they shoot a lot of threes, and they shoot them pretty well, which is going to be an issue for Kansas to guard. You know, they shot decently well in both. Obviously better in Allen Fieldhouse, the one that they lost. The other thing I think is they got some pretty good interior defense and perimeter defense, but Kansas had a lot more trouble with interior defense this year. So, you know, Jackson Hayes is a really good interior defender. Kansas has done a really good job getting him into foul trouble over their first couple of meetings. But, you know, when he's in there, he's someone they got to keep an eye on. And Kansas obviously has had a lot of trouble scoring against good interior defenders. So that's something to watch out for if, you know, Hayes can go and is not in foul trouble. I'll be interested to see how Kansas attacks that. And then I guess, you know, the last thing is I was taking a look at their turnover issues, in the second game. You know, it's one of these things where they turn it over just a bunch of needless, you know, nonsensical turnovers that they seem to have, on the road, you know, giving it away basically. I mean, they turned it over 20% of their possessions, in that Texas game, which you can't really have. First game in Allen Fieldhouse, turned it over on just 6% of their possessions. So, you know, if they can do that, I think that they can probably score enough to win. You know, Texas doesn't really force a lot of turnovers, so it's going to be one of those things where, you know, if Kansas gives them any, it's probably going to be more of the, you know, self-forced versus Texas forcing them variety.
Yeah, I'm going to be interested to see how they play in the Sprint Center, just because, you know, it's obviously well documented. They've been having trouble playing away from home. They played decently well in neutral site games this year, but all of those were with Udoka. And so I'll be interested to see how they kind of, you know, come off in that first game. And the fact that it's the first game and it's against a team that's, you know, as dangerous as Texas is offensively. I am looking at their KenPom numbers though, and what's surprising to me is that they actually are not any better than Kansas in conference play when it comes to three-point shooting. Both Kansas and Texas have made 35.2% of their three-point attempts in conference play. Maybe it just seems like they're able to get their, you know, like they may not take as many of them, and so the ones that they're making are seem to be more meaningful.
I think it's, you know, Texas shoots more of them. They actually shoot more than anyone in the league. So, you know, they make more just by virtue of, you know, shooting more.
Okay.
And I think this is, you know, I'm gonna hop on my soapbox again here, but given KU's issue scoring at the rim, I think that they need to, you know, shoot more threes. You know, you look at the respective numbers, you know, Texas and Kansas, like you said, shoot the same amount of threes, shoot the same percentage from three. Kansas is seventh in the league in terms of attempts. Texas is first. I don't think that it's a mystery why Texas is second in the league in offense and KU is sixth. I mean, KU turns it over more, obviously, so Texas has more possessions. You know, Texas shoots a little bit better from the free throw line and stuff, but, you know, KU led the league in 2-point shooting this year, and yet they had the sixth best offense, and that's, you know,
yeah,
they don't shoot enough threes, basically, is what I'm getting at. You know, even though you know, I pointed this out on Twitter as well, like I said, their rankings within the conference are what they are, you know, seventh in terms of three-point shooting, first in terms of two-point shooting, but they're still scoring more points per three-pointer than per two-pointer. So It really doesn't make a lot of sense for them to keep pounding the ball inside, other than, you know, maybe in a game like this where removing Jackson Hayes in terms of foul trouble would be such a bonus, that maybe it makes sense to sacrifice some percentage to pick up a couple fouls. But other than that, you know, I really think they need to just kind of let it fly a little bit more.
Yeah, I think they need to be aggressive going inside, but that doesn't necessarily mean that they need to take shots there unless they're able to get Jackson Hayes in some
Right.
questionable, you know, situations there. The thing that really concerns me about this game, though, is Ostrzakowski. We don't have – well, maybe that's changed if McCormick can keep up, you know, what he was able to do in the last week or so. But my big concern is being able to guard a guy like Ostrzakowski. Marcus Garrett got in a ton of trouble playing against him. You know, and so I'm curious to see, is he going to have another huge game like they had down in Austin, or is Kansas going to be able to use the emergence of a guy like McCormick to be able to put or Dedrick Lawson on Ostrzakowski? Of course, the other question about that then is, can Ostrzakowski force Lawson into a bunch of fouls as well? So I think foul trouble is probably going to be one of the deciding factors of this game, because both of these teams seem to be pretty good at you know, using mismatches and kind of getting fouls on guys. And so I'm worried about that from a Kansas perspective, but I do think that Kansas is actually pretty well equipped to try to do the same thing to Texas. Any thoughts on that?
Yeah, I think you're right. I actually think this might be a good Mitch Lightfoot game. You know, he only played 14 minutes in the loss to Texas. Obviously since then has really come on strong. The issue with him defensively, obviously, is the fact that he's not great against traditional, you know, post-up big men, can't really handle getting back down very well. But, you know, Ostrzakowski, yeah, he's a back-to-the-basket type guy, but he more looks to pass when he goes back to the basket and is more of kind of a face-up shooter type guy. So I think Lightfoot can, you know, obviously has the foot speed to stick with him. His strength has definitely improved this year. So I think that he can, you know, withstand Ostrzakowski backing him down. And I think, if not McCormick, I think Lightfoot is actually probably a pretty good guy to put on him.
Yeah, I hadn't thought of that. And of course, he only played 6 minutes in the first game in Allen Fieldhouse. So he didn't really do – I mean, he's only played 20 minutes total against Texas in two games. So he hasn't really been utilized. I do think the kind of his energy that he brings – will definitely be pretty helpful for that particular game. So yeah. All right, I kind of wanted to try to look ahead a little bit, or actually any final thoughts about this Texas game before we jump ahead?
Well, I think, you know, the big news obviously is, you know, Shaka Smart looks like he's not going to be back next year. So it would be kind of nice to, you know, win this one and send him to the unemployment line.
I was going to say, is that just kind of the rumors that are hanging out there, or is there some pretty...
Yeah, I mean, it sounds like for now it's just kind of rumor stuff, I guess, just based on what I've read. But there's also a lot of talk that I don't know how they can pay his buyout type stuff. So,
well, like I've heard the rumblings, like people wanting to get rid of him for quite a while.
Right.
Especially Texas fans. But yeah, there's been a lot of, you know, people wondering if they were actually going to move on from him. So, well, I think if he were to completely flame out, and, you know, get blown out by KU in this particular game, that might be enough to push him out. I wouldn't guarantee it, though. I still think that they're going to get an NIT invite or potentially sneak in, you know, to the end of the bubble there. And if he can then get a couple games in the NCAA tournament, you know, after he sneaks in or can go deep in the NIT, that might be enough to save his job for next year, which I wouldn't complain about. So.
Well, fortunately, Shaka Smart has never made a fluke run in the NCAA tournament before.
Yeah, never, so. Never. All right. So real quick, before we look ahead, I am going to go ahead and throw it to one quick break real quick. We will be right back on the Rock Chalk Podcast. All right. And we're back. Like I said, I wanted to look ahead just a little bit. I'm looking at the bracket here, you know, and obviously depending on how everything breaks, you know, Kansas has some interesting matchups here. Texas Tech is the 2 seed. And so that would be the semifinal matchup. Assuming that they do get past Texas. I mean, obviously assuming that Texas Tech wins, I'm not thinking that there's anything that we can, I'm not really expecting Texas Tech to get upset. And then obviously K-State is the team that's probably waiting for Kansas in the final. Are you agreeing with my assessment there? Like, do you think that Baylor has a good shot of upsetting Kansas State, or are we looking at probably a road through Texas Tech and then
again. Yeah, well, you know, I think, you know, it depends. I mean, if Iowa State's played K-State tough twice, you know, so if Iowa State can beat Baylor, then you're looking at, you know, who knows, maybe they can beat K-State. And, you know, obviously, for whatever reason, Iowa State seems to take the Big 12 tournament more seriously than all the other fan bases put together. So I definitely would not be surprised to see them make a run to the championship game. Baylor, if Mekhi Mason plays, I could also see them, you know, maybe having a chance at taking down K-State. But, yeah, I definitely think, you know, K-State and Texas Tech are probably the favorites with the way that they've played this year. But, you know, the league's been wide open all year, and I think that it's going to be pretty wide open in the tournament as well.
Yeah, I mean, I have to think that the top three seeds are probably the favorites to actually, you know, cut down the nets there. But you're right. I wouldn't be surprised if Iowa State can get past Baylor, which is a big if, though, just the way that they've been playing. You know, they've lost five or six of their last eight games. And so they've been in free fall. If they can get it turned around, they can, you know, Kansas City, they're going to have a big contingent there. They always do every year. That's probably a good place for them to try to do it. And if they can make a push, you know, they're still rated pretty highly with all of the advanced numbers. So KenPom has them rated decently highly at this point. I would not be surprised if they were to make a big push here. They could potentially get, you know, a pretty good seed here. I mean, so this is a big deal for them. They might be after it a little bit more than most people would probably think. So, but yeah, and then obviously, I mean, like, I don't think Texas Tech is going to have a problem with either Oklahoma or West Virginia, unless West Virginia pulls another rabbit out of their hat. They've won some weird ones, but I think the Texas Tech's defense is too good for that, really. So, I mean, Kansas, you know, I think Kansas matches up fairly well against Texas Tech when Texas Tech isn't shooting, you know, 60% from three. So as long as we can avoid another 60%, a 60% shooting clip from them, I think that we're in pretty good position. Especially since the expectation is, you know, we'll have a basically a home game in the Sprint Center, and they'll have already gotten the, you know, pre-tournament jitters off by playing against Texas. Go ahead.
Well, you know, I was just going to say, you know, obviously you can't really solve the Texas Tech defense, so to speak, but, you know, Kansas has been over a point per possession in both games against them. And I think, you know, more than anyone else, Bill Self kind of knows how to attack that defense. So that's something that they can, you know, keep in their back pocket. I think that they, like I said, you know, gave up too many, or like you said, I'm sorry, gave up too many open threes to Texas Tech in that meeting in Lubbock. But also, you know, Texas Tech was just shooting outrageously.
Well, right. I mean, they gave up quite a few open threes, but most of those open threes were, you know, in the second half. I mean, in the first half, when they were something like 11 of 12 in the first half, at least I went back and counted them, and I'm pretty sure at least eight of those were, you know, hand in the face, pretty well guarded. Like, you couldn't ask the defense to really do much more, and they just made them.
Yeah, that's a good point.
And so, I mean, it's not like Kansas played poor 3-point defense for the most part. Like, they were closing out until it just got, you know, ridiculous, like absolutely out of reach. Guys were, you know, having trouble really kind of staying in the game at that point and really paying him too much attention. And Bill Self had already started to kind of pull guys and, you know, kind of rest up because we had the game against K-State coming up. So that game got a little bit further out of hand than I think anyone really expected it to, partly because, you know, we knew how important it was to be able to play well against K-State. And so he rested guys. Like, Dietrich Lawson only played like 18 or 21 minutes or something like that. And so it wasn't a big, huge push for them to necessarily keep that one close after it got out of hand. And so that's when, you know, Texas Tech made a lot of three-pointers in the second half, was because we had some guys in there that probably aren't, you know, our best defenders, weren't closing out. But for the most part, like, when the game was still at least somewhat competitive, you know, we were closing out, we were playing good defense, and Texas Tech was just hitting everything. And so I really doubt that they're going to be able to have that sort of performance again against Kansas, especially in the Sprint Center. So, I'm definitely feeling that game is going to be extremely competitive. I don't think anyone's going to blow anyone out. I would expect that one to come down to the wire, which is usually the way it goes for Kansas when they're actually competing in the Big 12 tournament.
Yeah, it is. You know, it is weird that, you know, Texas Tech has had, you know, maybe the best 2-year defensive run in terms of, other than Virginia, I guess, in terms of any other team in the country. And yet Kansas has scored more than a point per possession every single time that they've played against each other over this 2-year run. And so it's kind of weird that given that and given the fact that, you know, they haven't had a ton of offensive success over these last couple of years, that Texas Tech has also, you know, had not a lot of trouble scoring against Kansas. The only time either team has finished under a point per possession was the win over Texas Tech at Allen Fieldhouse earlier this year when Texas Tech scored 0.86 point per possessions. But other than that, it's all been over a point per possession, which is just kind of weird when you consider the pedigrees of those two coaches defensively, and you know, how well Texas Tech has stymied everyone else this year. And really, you know, to be honest with you, kind of how bad they've been offensively, especially this year, you wouldn't really expect Kansas to have a ton of issues on that end of the floor. You'd think it would be on the other end of the floor, especially given the issues they've had scoring against pretty much everyone else. So kind of a weird matchup, but I think it kind of, I don't know if I would say it favors Kansas, but I don't think that the gap is as large as, like, looking at, you know, KenPom would suggest.
Yeah, exactly. All right, and then just one final question for you, I think. You know, how weird is it that this Big 12 tournament is probably actually going to mean something for Kansas? Like, if they probably need to at least get to the finals, if not win the tournament, in order to be guaranteed a 3 seed, which I think is probably what they're probably going to need in order to really have a better than not shot of getting to Kansas City regional. So, I mean, is it weird for you having a tournament that you think actually matters for this team? And do you agree with my assessment that it actually really does matter for them?
Yeah, normally I do not care at all about the Big 12 tournament, to be honest with you. I mostly just hope that everyone stays healthy. Right. But this year, yeah, I think, you know, if they can go out and win it, you're looking at maybe a 3 seed and maybe in Kansas City. And, you know, even if they make it to the championship game, I think they're probably going to be in the running for that kind of a setup, just given the rest of their resume and the fact that, you know, they'll have shown that they can beat a really good Texas Tech team without Udoka Azubuike. I think that's going to be kind of a big test for them. Of course, you know, they've beaten them once before without him, so who knows how much of a difference that makes, I guess. But, you know, if they make it to the Big 12 title game, I think they'll have, you know, this is depending on what other teams do, I think they'll have as many quadrant one wins as anyone in the country. So it would just be tough, even though some of those came with Azubuike, it would just be tough to see them being knocked all the way down to a 4 seed with that kind of a resume.
Right. Yeah. I mean, I think if they make the championship, they're guaranteed a 3 at least. If they win the championship and some of these other teams that are ahead of them, you know, have really early losses. I'm talking about like the Big 12, they're the Big 10 teams. Probably specifically Purdue and Michigan. If both of those teams lose early in the Big Ten tournament, Kansas might have a possibility of, you know, potentially sneaking up and stealing maybe that last 2 spot. I don't know if that would do them any favors as opposed to just being a 3 solidly in Kansas City, but it's at least a possibility for them to be able to do that. So, but right, like it would require them, I think, to have a really, really strong Big 12 tournament. I think honestly, what's most likely is they're going to be the 3 seed. It's just a matter of, do they get to be that first 3 seed so that they can go ahead and get the, you know, the region that they want, which is definitely the Kansas City region. So, all right. And any other final thoughts before we get out here for the night?
Yeah, no, I think just to echo what you said, seeding is less important than region. I mean, if they can get to Kansas City and, you know, get to play 2 games, hopefully, in Kansas City, you know, you never know. If they're a 4 seed somewhere else and they're playing, you know, a 1 seed in, you know, out east or out west or whatever, it's going to be pretty difficult. But in Kansas City, I mean, I think kind of all bets are off. So that's probably the thing to watch out for on Selection Sunday versus their seeding or even their opening round matchup.
Yeah, definitely. All right. Well, we will go ahead and leave it there for tonight. Thank you so much for joining me, Fetch.
Yeah, thanks for having me.
All right. We'll catch you next time.
All right, and that'll do it for today's episode. Thank you guys so much for listening. Action that's happened since our last podcast. The KU swimming and diving team actually had the NCAA Zone Diving Championships. It's basically regionals. KU had one diver who qualified for nationals in the or for the NCAA like national tournament, the championships in the 1 meter diving competition. So they are continuing, or actually, I'm sorry, that competition, yes, it's continuing today. There will be a few more events. We'll have a full wrap up of how that event or how that meet went in our next episode, which is probably going to be dropping Saturday morning, assuming that we actually move on into the Big 12 tournament final. So but in terms of other action, the baseball team had a game yesterday or Tuesday morning against Central Connecticut State. They won that game 10-8. And the softball team had a game scheduled against Omaha on Tuesday afternoon. Unfortunately, that was canceled due to weather. So they did not have another game today. Today being Wednesday, like we talked about on the last podcast, Kansas. The baseball team is playing another game this morning. It's at 8:30 a.m. So again, by the time you guys listen to this, they'll probably be underway, if not close to being done. So, but the baseball team will be playing against Seton Hall down in Port Charlotte, Florida, in the Charlotte Sports Park. So, you can listen to that one online on the Jayhawk Radio Network. In terms of action coming up, obviously there is the game against Texas that will be in the first round of the Big 12 tournament. The baseball team is playing on Friday at 2 p.m. They are playing at St. John's up in Queens. Then the tennis team is playing at 5 p.m. Down in Stillwater, Oklahoma. It's a league matchup against Oklahoma State. The softball team is scheduled to play at 5:30 at home on the Jayhawk Radio Network against Tulsa. Then, obviously, Friday, assuming that Kansas beats Texas, they will be playing the winner of Texas Tech and the other game that they, or the winner of the game that goes on actually today. The Big 12 tournament is starting today, obviously, with two games. There's TCU versus Oklahoma State, and then Oklahoma versus West Virginia. The Oklahoma-West Virginia game, that winner will go on to play Texas Tech. And then the winner of that particular game, obviously, will be Kansas's opponent if they make it to Friday. So there's potentially that game for us to be looking forward to on a Friday. Either way, we will have a full wrap-up of the first two games for Kansas, or the first game if they lose to Texas, of the Big 12 tournament. That will be dropping for you. That will be either on Friday evening or Saturday morning. So on Saturday, the baseball team is playing at noon, again up in Queens, against St. John. The softball team will be playing at home against Nebraska. That'll be 1:30. And then they play again. Actually, have a doubleheader. They'll play again against Tulsa at 4 o'clock. Assuming that none of those games get pushed back for time. And then, again, we'll talk more about who Kansas will be playing in the Big 12 championship on Saturday, assuming that they make it. And that will be on our next episode. So, again, thank you guys so much for listening. I really do enjoy bringing this content to you guys every single week. If you have not already, please do find us on iTunes, I'm sorry, on Apple Podcasts, on Stitcher, Spotify, any place where you find your podcast. Just search for the Rock Chalk Talk podcast channel and subscribe there. nice comments, 5 stars, likes, all that fun stuff. It really does help to get the podcast out there, and so that more people can find us. If you guys wanted to contact us with any questions, comments, suggestions on who we might talk to, you can contact us on Twitter at RockChalkPod. You can email us rockchalkpodcast@gmail.com. We really do enjoy getting your guys' comments, suggestions, all that fun stuff. But we will go ahead and leave it there for the day. Thank you guys so much for listening, and we will catch you next time on the Rock Chalk Podcast.